You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
Back to Roto Experts of the morning. My name is Tony Scotti. He's George Kurtz. We are here getting it absolutely done. I don't know about those commercials where they're talking about drafting guys with cool names. Like, that's the best we have. That's what we put in the commercial here. What is going on here, George?
Yeah, you know, listen, I'm a big 24 fan, Tony, but I'm probably not drafting Trevor Bauer because I like Jack Bauer. You know, Jack Bauer may be a first-round pick as far as characters go. Trevor Bauer is not.
I'm drafting Trevor Bauer, but not exactly, not because of Jack Bauer, because of his high strikeout totals.
Trevor Bauer, you're right. I think the strikeout's coming up. I think this guy is coming into his own. I think he's only going to get better. Love the fact that he plays on Cleveland, who I think walks away with that division. So a lot of W's should be coming his way.
Oh, Jesus, Mary and Joseph. That's the only team with a 500 record in that division.
Let's see. KC, Chicago. No love for Minnesota? No love for Minnesota, Tony?
I like them, but you know what? I've never in my life that I can remember since the days of Kirby Puckett where I've had expectations for Minnesota and they've come through. So I have a feeling something's going to go wrong out there.
Oh, I don't think they're going to do what they did last year. I think that was sort of a...
The offense is good. Like, I think they got a good offense. I just don't know how good the pitching is.
It's interesting, though. It's not terrible. You know, when Santana gets back, which he should only miss a month, a lot of veterans there, Santana, Lynn, Odorizzi. What can they get out of Gibson and Berrios? Can Berrios be? I don't think he needs to be a number one. Can he be a number two? A solid number two? Good number two? I think that could be a key there. I mean, it's better than Milwaukee's that we just talked about, right? I'll give them that. I think they can be I think they'll be a 500 team, maybe even a tick above 500. I just don't think they'll truly be in the playoff hunt.
That's a possibility. Seth Lugo, congratulations. You are the Mets' fifth starter to open the season. The Mets send Zach Wheeler to AAA. This is very, very interesting because me and Scott debated this a few times. He thought Zach Wheeler would be in the bullpen. I said, no, he's going to be a starter. He's pitching 5-6 innings. Why would they be, putting him out there? But they chose to send him to the minors, which I don't get. But I guess he's going to be a starter. He's going to pitch in a starter in the minors, and he'll come up when he's ready. But Seth Lugo's a guy that doesn't pitch bad. I mean, he's had some good starts. He's had some bad starts. He's an okay pitcher.
Right, he's a Jag. That's what he is. I mean, he's an okay guy. He has some good starts, bad starts. I mean, National League pitcher. He's pitching in Citi Field. I mean, we like that. Good pitcher's ballpark there. But he's not going to have the job long-term anyway, right? Vargas should only be out a couple of weeks at most, and then he'll be back there. Not that he's nothing special anyway. I think the Mets made a huge mistake. If you were going to sign somebody, then you should have signed Lance Lynn for a little bit more money. I think signing Vargas was kind of silly.
And by the time Vargas comes back, based on the history of the Mets pitching staff, wouldn't you think someone else is probably up on him?
That's true, too.
I have Matt Harvey on every team, you know. Every team I have. I have five teams. He's on every team. And it's not because I like him, but he's going in the 23rd, 24th round, right? Yeah, in a dollar. And, in fact, I was in an auction that I got him in the reserve round. And I'm like, this guy's done it before. And the strikeout numbers aren't that far off. I'm like, you got to, at some point, take a chance.
There's nothing wrong. Scott Englund and I discussed this on one of our shows. There's nothing wrong with taking Matt Harvey. I mean, for the price you're mentioning. Are you paying for the Dark Knight? No. No, you're not taking him second round. You're not paying $30 for him. Of course not. He's not that pitcher anymore. I wish he was. At one time, Matt Harvey was must-watch TV. He was a no-hitter waiting to happen. He was great. He's lost that now. The injuries have taken that from him. But he's not somebody who just – he's still throwing the ball 95. Granted, it's straighter now. He doesn't have the movement. Doesn't have the late movement there. But I think he's still going to be a useful fantasy guy. I think he's worth more than a dollar. He's worth more than a reserve pick. You know, he's somebody I also don't mind having on my team. Absolutely. For what he's going for, I think it's what we do in fantasy. I think a lot of people do this, you know. Because he was once great, now he's not great. Well, now he must suck. You're either great or you suck. There's no in-between here.
It's true.
He's an in-between guy. Speaking of that, what he is.
You know who sucks? Scott Engel sucks. Because working with him drives you crazy sometimes. Is that I was telling him that I like, if you play in a deeper league, Derek Dietrich. He's a Marlins. He's a third base eligible, but he's going to play the outfield. And I think he can hit 20 home runs. All right? Get him late in the draft. I think he'll hit 250. Probably have 60 run score, 70. Nothing great, but he's okay. So Scott poo-poos it every time I mention it, right? Then I find out just 2 days ago that Derek Dietrich was mean to Scott in an interview and didn't want to have time for Scott in an interview. And that's why he keeps poo-pooing Derek Dietrich on me.
I'm not sure Derek Dietrich should be mean to anybody in an interview. You're quite not that level of ball player where you can afford to do that, buddy. But, I mean, listen, outfielders, if you're playing in a 15-team league or even a 12-team league, I mean, you do simple math here. 12-team league, we all start five outfielders. That's 60. Everyone's going to have at least one outfielder on their bench. Now you're talking 72. Some teams will have two. Maybe we'll get close to 75, 80, plus outfield and utility spot. There are not enough outfielders to go around here. I have no problem taking, I would consider Dietrich a little bit more than a dartboard throw. You're taking a shot at him, see if he can't hit those 20 home runs, because we're all going to need it. What's going to happen when these injuries start to hit? You know, and 10, 15 outfielders are on a DL, especially with the new 10-day DL thing. All these teams are going to use it to play it very safe. Oh, he's got a hangnail, put him on a 10-day DL. It's no big deal. So outfielders and pitchers are going to be so valuable with this, because we're going to need 120 of them total by the end of the year.
Well, my first two drafts, I drafted this guy, and then I started getting off him, but he made the opening day roster. Houston Astros' Derek Fisher will be on the Houston Astros' opening day, but did not play yesterday because he has a mild sprain in his ankle. He can start in left field opening day if he can get back and play. This is not what I wanted. I took a shot on this guy because I thought he would start in left field. And he's got an open door because of the Yaleski-Gurriel injury where Marwin Gonzalez is probably going to start at first base. And Fisher's got to play, man, and hang on to that job. So hopefully he gets out there.
I think he'll play, assuming what they're telling us about the injury. He injured his ankle on a pickoff play at first base. He went in foot first rather than feet first, rather than diving. And we've seen, you've all seen it. You turn your ankle. They're calling it mild, so hopefully they're telling the truth here. I don't see why they'd lie about it, but then again, all these guys don't exactly tell the truth with the injuries. I expect him to play Thursday. I think he is a worthwhile shot. Guy was once a top prospect for the organization. I like the ballpark he can hit in. Love the lineup. Nothing's expected of him. That lineup can hit with or without him, so he's going to go under the radar here. And if he hits, you're right. They'll sort of have to find a spot for him, maybe. The problem is, let's say so-so. He's not doesn't start off like a bat on fire here. Then he's going to go away because Gurriel's going to come back. He's going to play. He's not going to get DH over Evan Gattis. I don't see that happening.
No,
so that's where the issues come in.
No, the issue to me is going to be, is like you said, they don't need him offensively, right? So if he could play at the superior left field, maybe they don't put Marwin Gonzalez out left field every day. Maybe they say, you know what? Because here's the truth about people. When you play first base, when you play second base, when you play third base, when you play outfield, you know what it is? You're not good at any of them. And there's so many of those guys. Like Eduardo Nunez is not good at any of them. Salate, he's not excellent at any of them. It's just that you play all these games, you're okay at it, and you don't have a position because you're not great at any of them.
That's true. That's 100% true. Eduardo Nunez is the definition. I mean, the Yankee beat writers, they used to call him Eduardo Nunez because he made a lot of E's, a lot of errors. he's not a very good fielder. He's not. But the fact that he can throw on a glove and be representative at all these positions makes him valuable. Generally, I agree with you, Tony. If they're moving you around, it's because, he can sort of catch the ball, and he can sort of move. It doesn't bother him to go from second to short, playing with the other side, but he can't catch the ball consistently at any of them.
Wei-Yin Chen, you forgot about him. He just started throwing live batting practice. He'll come back somewhere during the season and rescue the Marlins.
That's pretty much what he's going to throw all season, batting practice.
George, come on, man.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you a big Wei-Yen Chen fan?
No, but he's got parents.
Friends of the family?
You have parents that might listen to the show.
There's another joke there, but I'm going to let that go. Wei-Yen Chen, I mean, I don't care. I mean, really, wins aren't coming, so that's one category down. Never was a huge strikeout guy anyway. Two categories down. What are you hoping for here? You know, ratio saver? To me, this is the definition of a guy, and I don't really, I'm not trying to knock Chen, but I'd rather have that top setup guy.
You're doing a pretty good job.
I'd rather have. Yeah, I know. I'd rather have the Barraclough, someone like that in there who might pick up a save during the week, maybe, you know, and protect my ratios anyway. I'll lose a couple of strikeouts. I'd rather have a top setup guy than someone like, you know, an SP, a team's SP4, SP5. Well, for the Marlins, he might be an SP1.
And the Phillies sent Cameron Rupp for assignment as Jorge Alfaro is the knight in shining armor. George, I got to be honest, George. I don't get what the hell's going on here. I never seen a player more overdrafted in my life than Jorge Alfaro. Now, last year, he hit 5 home runs and 114 at-bats and hit .318. So that's why the whole world was all Jorge Alfaro. But none of the minor league numbers are close to that. At AAA, 350 at-bats, he had 7 home runs and hit .241. 2016, he had 15 and 285, so that was a good job by him. 2015, 5 home runs, 253. I think he gets double-digit home runs and hits .250, and people are treating this guy like he's the next Johnny Bench.
Well, isn't this the catcher position? I mean, there's not enough to go around. There's not very many good ones. I mean, you're right. He's in the minor leagues, you know, he had 16 and 13, 13 and 14, 15 and 16. You know, it doesn't say he's going to be a big-time power hitter. Then again, I'm willing to bet here that, you know, that ballpark in Philadelphia is smaller than all those other minor league ballparks, so that's going to play into this as well. But I think it's the catcher position. It's hope, right? There's no one else out there to take. Might as well take Alfaro because, you know, the rest of these guys are terrible. You know, I know what I'm getting out of Iannetta and Hundley and all those other guys, so why not go take Alfaro? See if he can hit 22, 23 home runs and bat .280. You know, I think expecting to bat over 300 is silly. I think he's another guy, the more he plays at catcher, he'll wear it down at the end of the season, too, and the average will take a plummet because of that. But I think the home runs could be somewhat legit. I'm not prorating the numbers. You know, oh, yeah, because he had 114 at-bats and 6 and 14 home runs last year. He times that by 5. He's going to have 70 home runs this year. No, that's silly. But I think 22 home runs could be coming, sure. I'm an Alfaro guy believer because of the two-catcher league.
Are you too legit to quit?
I kind of like that tune.
I don't have any MC Hammer on my iPod.
I do. I have 3.
I think I should add to it. So you have Too Legit to Quit.
Third one, what's the third one, Tony?
I don't know. That's what I'm trying to figure out. I didn't know that he had 3 songs.
He did. I'm not telling you
that. What's the third one? Come on.
Nope. Got to guess.
Pete Considori. Any idea what the third song on?
Does Pete even know who MC Hammer is?
Yes.
Pete. All right.
So what were the first two? I'm sorry. I was a little preoccupied. What were the first two?
Can't touch this. Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, I know that one.
Yeah. What was the other one?
Too Legit.
Too Legit. Too Legit to Quit.
Yeah, those are the only two I know, so I'm definitely lost on the third one. I didn't know he had a third song. Did he even have a full album?
See? Oh, yeah. He was the big thing, man.
Yeah, no.
He was the big thing.
Those are the only two songs I know. I'm sorry, guys.
He lost all his money, you know. He had it, and then he lost it.
Did he start out by with the Oakland A's guys?
He was the ball boy.
Right,
he was
the
ball boy. And I think he used to get steroids from Mark McGwire.
I think he's before McGwire, isn't he?
I don't know. Have you seen her? Is that it?
No. By the way, here's a little hint. It's Sunday. It makes sense today. Some people do this quite often today.
Pray?
There you go.
Oh. I didn't know there was a song called Pray.
Yeah, because you pray. We got to pray just to make it today. Which is probably true.
The top 10 best MC Hammer songs, according to AXS.com, is Too Late Player, It's All Good, This Is The Way We Roll, He Brought Me Out.
I don't know any
Adam's
of these.
Group. I don't either. Pump It Up. Have You Seen Her? Pray. Too Legit to Quit, and You Can't Touch This.
So You Can't Touch This is 10?
That's what they say.
Yeah, I think we need a new list. Is that list in reverse?
It seems like it, right? In this Pray, Pray has a sample of When Doves Cry in it. Did you know that, George? Is that why you like it?
No, I'm not a big Prince guy, Tony. When Doves Cry sort of makes me cry. I can't take that song. I like his. He's got a couple. I mean, he's got a couple of tunes I like, but it's not. It's certainly not. Purple Rain is another one I can't stand.
How about Raspberry Beret? Is something?
No. I'm trying to think of the song I like by Prince, and it's in my head, but I can't think of the name of it. So I'll look that up too. You got me looking up a lot of stuff today.
When we come back, we'll break down more fantasy baseball. If you got MC Hammer songs we don't have, let us know. 844-843-6879. 844-843-6879. All MC Hammer all the time here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. As we're breaking down, get you ready for Major League Baseball's opening day. MC Hammer should be at the Oakland Coliseum throwing out that first pitch. Go Hammer! Stay tuned for more for Roto Experts in the Morning.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Yeah. Roto Experts in the Morning. Little MC Hammer back in the day. This used to turn people crazy. This would be a good song if you're going to be a twerker, if you do any twerking.
Yeah, that's something I'm often doing, Tony.
Do you often twerk?
I'm not even dead sure what a twerk is.
It's when a girl like does a dance that specifies her buttock movements.
Oh, look at that! Learn something new every day. Now I know yes. What it is, guys. I've seen that. I guess I've seen that before. Only you know when it comes to You Can't Touch This. I remember back when I was younger, my friend dated this girl, and her name was Marcy. And this Marcy wouldn't Marcy. She talked a lot. And another friend actually changed the words to that song, sort of doing a parody of it, to Shut Up Marcy. Na, 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 na. Shut Up Marcy. And it was funny. Made me laugh. Because the girl just never, ever shut up.
Oh, poor Marcy. What is she doing today?
I have no idea. This was some 20 years ago. Hell, it might be 30 years ago.
There's always one way to shut up a woman.
I was thinking the same thing. Maybe that's what was why he stayed with her so long.
And folks, for all the people out there that want to take them shopping is what we meant. Take them shopping.
I was thinking dinner. But hey.
For all the people out there, we had to clear that up. And other things we need to clear up. John Gray is pitching very well as of late. The Colorado Rockies ace through three scoreless innings in his final spring tune-up on Saturday. He got off on the wrong half of the Cubs split squad, facing a lineup of regulars like Chris Bryant, Rizzo, Schwarber, among others. And he navigated through them without any issues. I just don't feel good about drafting a Colorado pitcher. Is there at any point that John Gray would be a guy that you'd be putting on your roster?
I think John Gray's a very good pitcher. I mean, very, really very good. I can't take him in Colorado because he comes down to me, Tony, where I'm not starting him when he's pitching in Colorado. I'm not going to be able to pull that trigger. You know, I'm always going to be afraid of this is the day where it's 8 runs in 3 innings. You know, the ball's flying out of that ballpark. You know, the humidor is not working. It's 9,000 degrees, and it's just everything. Pop-up flies are going 400 feet. So that's my problem. It always be, oh, okay, great, the next but I can't hit select. I can't hit draft. I'm going to go in a different direction. So, no. Unless the price is so good, I just can't say it, and that won't happen in any league. I can't take a Colorado pitcher. I just can't do it.
Yeah. I think if you go your whole life without taking a Colorado pitcher, you'll be okay.
I think you'd be okay as well. I might be able to take Wade Davis. I'll take a relief pitcher. I'll take a closer. But as far as a starter, no, because I know that one day, oh, you know, I'm going to start him in Colorado today. I'm going to start him in Coors today because he's facing the Padres. And that'll be the day he gets beat up. Well, the Miami, you know, he's facing the Marlins today. They can't hit, but they still score 7 runs. You know, I just and I'll hate myself for it. I know I'll hate myself for it. So, no, I won't be taking John Gray. And I said, if you see John Gray on my roster, and right now I don't have him in any league, it means everything just fell into place where, okay, he lasted around 17. All right, now the value is worth it. I'll take a shot.
There you have it. Tyler Skaggs surrendered 4 runs on 4 hits over 3 innings on Saturday. The runs allowed were unfortunate enough, but what really stands out, that Skaggs' box score, his near-complete lack of control. The 26-year-old southpaw issued an uncomfortable 5 walks. Skaggs has 11 runs, 11 innings in spring, working out to an even 9 ERA. Yikes.
Yeah, that's not good, right? 9? Nine? No.
No.
Not good. I mean,
no, it's like golf. The lower the number, the better.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's not what my golf scores usually look like. But Skaggs, I don't want to do with them.
Are you better at stroke play or match play?
I am so not touching this. Not touching this at all.
They actually have a little match play tournament going on this week in the PGA.
Do they now?
Yeah.
That's not the one Tony Romo went in, right?
No. He's in the stroke play events.
Okay. I enjoy golfing. I'm actually a decent golfer, but there's no more frustrating game, by the way. Especially if you don't play it all the time, where you can actually get good at this thing. Because you know, hitting that little white ball and not knowing where it is, or hitting a good, what you think is a good shot, and still not being able to find the ball. You know, you want to snap a club, that'll do it.
That was good. What I liked about the match play, which is different than the is that one of the golfers yesterday missed a putt, and he took the ball and he fired into the water, and he took his club and threw it at the caddy.
That's a little rough. What was the caddy's fault? You missed a shot.
Oh, I think you threw it to him.
Oh, but I've lost a club in a tree.
Agitated. You threw it in the tree.
Yeah, 5 wood hit a terrible shot, and I didn't mean to throw it. I didn't mean for it to get stuck in the tree, but I think I flung it up there, and the damn thing didn't come down.
So what did
you
do?
So it's still at the casino golf. Well, it's still at the casino golf course. If you want, I think it's hole 7. So if you want a free 5 wood, go climb a tree.
That seems outrageous.
Yeah, I wasn't happy. I must have flung it 20, 30 feet up in the air. Nothing I could do. I wasn't going to throw more clubs at it trying to get it. That wasn't going to happen.
Why'd you climb the tree?
Well, A, there's really no way to climb that tree. I'm not good with heights anyway. And you know what? It was the club's fault. It deserved to die a death. So the weakest thing I've seen, my friend, his wife bought him a brand new, I think it was a $500 driver. Really nice driver. First time he's playing with it, hits a bad shot. I don't think it was his first shot, but hits a bad shot. He snapped the thing over a tree. Actually, bounced. Like, what are you doing? $500 down the tubes. Like, go explain this to your wife.
His poor wife. Zach Godley is the love of fantasy owners. He was on his game Saturday in a split squad Cactus League game at a tie with the Royals, allowing 1 run and just 2 hits over 7 innings. Zach Godley, people love him. He has a 3.37 ERA in spring, 1.14 whip. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I like him as well. I mean, Pittsburgh and Arizona last year, so 3.37 last year, 1.14. I mean, I think Arizona's going to be a good team. Not a great team, but a good team, so a W should be there for you. He's not a top 10 for me, Tony. I'm not quite on the, you know, that love, but I have him at top 25. You know, I think he's going to be a good starting pitcher for you, so I have him as an SP2, SP3 for your fantasy team. Listen, we're all worried about the humidor. That's going to hurt Goldschmidt, going to hurt Pollock. Well, that means it's going to help the pitchers, right? You know, can't have it both
ways.
Top
25 here seems high on me. Like, that means he'd be a number one starter on at least 5 teams.
I would hope not. How's he be a number one starter? 20 team leagues?
No, I'm talking to Major League Baseball. There's 30
Major
teams,
League Baseball.
Right?
Well, that might be possible. He should be number one on what? San Diego, Miami, Minnesota, Milwaukee. Hell, he might be number one on more than five teams.
Oakland.
I mean, you go up and down. Baltimore? I would probably take him over Bundy.
What about they just signed Alex Cobb?
I'd rather have Cobb. Listen, I like Alex Cobb, and I have him in a fantasy league. It's a deep league, 17-team league. And so I needed him to sign because I needed the pitching depth. Boy, did I not want him to sign with Baltimore. Camden Yards, small ballpark. That's a lot of gains versus the Red Sox, a lot of gains versus the Yankees, the Blue Jays. These teams can all hit, and they're all going to hit him. Like I said, I'm still happy he signed, but, man, I really wish it wasn't with Baltimore.
Xander Bogaerts went 2-for-3 with a home run, two RBIs, two runs scored as they shut out the Astros. This spring, 350, 386, 678 are his stat lines. He has three homers and eight RBIs. He's looking to come back with some authority. Last year, he didn't hit for power.
He had the wrist injuries last year, multiple injuries there. I think that's where his power went. That's why he had trouble hitting, especially in the second half here. I'm in on Bogaerts. I think he's going to hit this year. I think the Red Sox team as a whole is going to hit. I think J.D. Martinez sort of solves the problem there, a big bopper in the middle. He's not David Ortiz, but he's sort of that kind of player there. I think everyone relaxes, stops trying to hit home runs. You know, I think that was a problem with Boston last year. I'm big on Bogaerts. He's in my within my top 10 shortstops.
I want to clear up. He's not David Ortiz. J.D. Martinez is 30 years old. He was once cut by the Houston Astros. But he might have had the best season in the history of baseball. That's crazy, right, to say that? This guy did not qualify for the batting title and hit 45 home runs. This is insane. Like, people don't realize how insane his numbers were last year. He only played 119 games. He only had 489 at-bats, and he hit 45 home runs and knocked in 104 RBIs and hit 303. That's one of the greatest seasons in the history of baseball.
It's not bad. Not bad. I mean, wouldn't the Red Sox take that as a first complete year this year?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Whatever it is.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, they certainly would. And what the hell is he going to do this year? You look at 2016 with the Tigers. He played 120 games that year, too. And he only hit 22 home runs. But he hit 307. What are your expectations for this guy?
Closer to the 45 than the 22. I'll get that out of the way here. I'm not worried about going to the American League because he's been an American League player. Arizona, obviously, the ballpark, the ball flies out of there. But, you know, his swing, I wouldn't say is meant for Fenway because he really is a right center power guy, but he'll hit his home runs there as long as he avoids the triangle. I think he'll hit. I mean, it wouldn't shock me if he hits 40. It wouldn't shock me if he ends up leading the league if he hits more than Judge and Stanton. That wouldn't shock me either. I think he'll be a top five home run guy in the American League. I think he'll pretty much stay healthy because they're not going to put him in the outfield all that much. I mean, why would you bother? You got Bradley, Benintendi, and Betts. They're all excellent outfielders. Unless they need a day's rest, there's no way I'm putting him out there. So I think he'll stay healthy. I think he's going to have a big year. That lineup, I think, is going to hit a lot. And the Yankees and Boston are going to score a ton of runs this year. I think he's going to be a big part of it. He's a second-round pick for me.
Yeah. You know what's crazy is that I think he is, too. And I got him in my last draft. I actually have Stanton in first round. I had it's funny. I went pitching heavy in all my drafts except the last one. And my best team is my last one, I think. I went Stanton in round one, J.D. Martinez in round two, and I think I picked Chris Davis in round five with a K. Those guys, they might hit 150 home runs.
Yeah, I would take the under on that, but once again, your power's solved. I mean, if those guys stay healthy, what's the worst that could happen? They hit 100 home runs between the three of them. It's 33 apiece. That's your worst case scenario. So, yeah, I think those guys are going to hit a ton of long balls here. I wonder why Martinez doesn't get quite the love here. Because, you know, if someone took him in round one, Tony, I wouldn't argue.
It's not crazy. There's two guys I won't argue that I don't think should be taken in round one. But if you took him, I'm not calling you crazy. One is Martinez, and the second's Gary Sanchez.
You know, when it comes to I can't take a catcher in round one because he's going to sit. At least I think he is. Although, you know, you read the comments from Boone, you realize he's going to want to get Sanchez in there.
He's going to DH, I think, 20 games.
Yeah, I think we said it earlier because I think he will. On days they get Stanton, they're playing in Fenway. When they're playing in Camden Yards, a couple other ballparks that are small left fields, they'll put Stanton out there. And I think those will be the days where Boone decides to give Sanchez a half day's rest, put him at DH.
Yeah.
So I kind of like when you go in there. If you read the comments from Boone, I think that's what he wants to do. He's not saying it, but I think that's what he wants to, because he realized, I'm of the belief that Sanchez is actually the Yankees' best hitter. Yeah, you know, not the best home run hitter. That's Judge and Stanton, but he's the best overall hitter.
We're talking about, like, people don't realize, I was going over this the other day, Wilson Contreras and Gary Sanchez, the advantage they give you over the rest of the catchers, if you take the 13th catcher, which I believe is Brian McCann, and you compare him to Gary Sanchez. So that tells you, right, that, you know, Gary Sanchez, the number one catcher versus the first of where catcher number twos would be, right? There's 50 points in average. There's 50 RBIs difference between those guys.
Yeah, you got to remember, Sanchez missed a month of the season last year.
50 RBIs.
His swing is made for Yankee Stadium, too.
50 points in average, and I think like 16 home runs. That gives you a huge advantage over your opponents.
It does. It's hard to argue that. You know, I think Sanchez is an incredible hitter. Do you think Posey's still number two?
No, it's Contreras. It's not even close.
Yeah. I agree. I'm down on Posey as well, as far as where I would take him. If I was going to take a catcher, it would definitely be Sanchez, Contreras. After that, I'm waiting on everybody else.
OPP, are you down with me? Remember that song?
I do remember OPP, are you down with me? Although I honestly don't know how often I've heard this. I think I've heard people say it more than I've heard the actual song.
Yeah. I wonder how much this song. It was a big song back in the day, though.
Oh, it was a huge song back in the day.
There was always a debate on what OPP stands for.
Yeah, I know what I think it stands for.
What? Other people's products?
Well, the first two is correct.
I think the last
P might have been a little different back in our day.
Other people's kittens?
That's closer to the truth. Doesn't quite fit the P, but yes.
I think that's, the P is to fool people, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know if that actually what it stood for, but I think that's what we assumed it did.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to figure out these rap lyrics. They don't teach them in English.
Remember Tia trying to figure out what Nirvana was trying to say half the time?
Yeah. It's crazy. I have on my Facebook page for all the people out there, what was your first concert you saw and what was the last concert you saw? For myself, it was Ozzy Osbourne in 1982. That was the first concert I saw. And the last one I saw was Brad Paisley like 2 weeks ago. George, how about you?
First concert I saw, I believe, was Billy Idol. Might have been ZZ Top. It's one of those two. I don't really remember the first one. They were almost back-to-back at the Nassau Coliseum. And the last one I saw last Saturday, which I just told you, was Weird Al Yankovic. I saw him and enjoyed them both.
Greg Kellogg just chimed in. Greg Kelly says, War with Wet Willie in 19 or 1971. I don't know who War with Wet Willie is. But his second concert, I've seen these guys, BTO and Bob Seger. I've seen them.
Bob Seger. I love Bob Seger. You know, It's funny. My cousin actually put out, what are your top 10 bands? And I forgot to put Bob Seger in there. So, and I actually felt bad because I'm actually a big Bob Seger fan. And the Silver Bullet Band.
Yes, the Silver Bullet Band. I seen Bob Seger like 4 years ago. And he looked not good.
I heard he doesn't sound as good. Is he? I think is he retiring? Did I hear that? This is either he retired or he's on his last retirement tour.
Those are retirement tours are the greatest. They last 3 years, and if they do really well, they have another one.
Didn't the Stones retire a couple of decades ago?
Oh, they retired 6 times a couple of decades ago.
Right, it's the longest tour ever.
They keep going. I love it. Tommy Pham, we love you. Stay tuned for more right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Welcome back, Roto Experts in the Morning. I'm George Kurtz. Tony Sincotta is here with me as well. We're putting Pete Cacciatore to work today. He's going to find all this music there for the bands we keep talking about here. We got MC Hammer earlier, Little Prince. No Bob Seger, Pete. So disappointed in you. And we're back. Tony Sincotta getting his coffee. Tony, how's that coffee? Yeah. You caffeinated now? Everything good?
I got black. I drink my coffee black. Do you drink coffee?
I'm not really big on hot drinks because generally when I drink, Tony, I want to drink. I'm thirsty. So Kobe, yeah, the sip, and this drives me insane. I can't do it.
You're not a sipper?
No, not a, my wife is big on an espresso machine, whatever, those little cup things you put in there.
Oh, like, yeah.
With the foamy milk, she's in love with this thing. I mean, I think she just made one now during the commercial that I heard going off there. But so we always have to have you know, I didn't know that certain milk doesn't foam. You can't get regular milk that doesn't foam up. You have to get like 2% milk or something like that. Didn't realize that.
George, that's way over my head. You've lost.
Yeah, I'm just trying to help the people, folks. So you're trying to get, you want your milk to foam up in your espresso. Got to get 2%, man. Regular homogenized, that ain't working.
Homogenized. You made it sound like monogamy.
Homogenized. I don't know what the hell this thing is.
Do you believe in monogamy?
Milk. What is that? One person?
Yeah.
One on one, right? Yes. I guess I do. I believe in it, honey. wife's not here. Oh, wife is here. Yes, I believe in it fully. Absolutely, it's a must. Sure.
Scooter Jeanette went 2-for-3 with the 2-run homer in Cactus League action, and I'll tell you what, Scooter was a guy last year that came out of nowhere, and this is a weird situation. And I blame baseball for this because they keep doing it. I'll never forget this. And it's weird that this is something I remember. I mean, I've been watching baseball for, 49 years, and yet this is one of the things I remember. I watched a spring training game last year, and Scooter Jeanette was at bat, and I went, holy shit. Like, he was 10 times the size of what I remembered Scooter Jeanette. And he had a monster year, George. And this year he's been dealing with some shoulder injuries, but he seems to get over it. And he hit 27 home runs, 97 RBIs in 141 games. Can we expect the same thing from Scooter Jeanette?
No. I'm not drafting him for that. I'll take him as a middle infielder. I think the power is somewhat legit. And what I mean by that is I think he could hit 20. You know, the ballpark we know is small. It's a joke, the Great American Small Park there. I think the average is going to come down a bit, probably to the range of slightly helping, the 280 range, but not really 295. What he batted last year, he's not going to hit 300. I think he's going to be a useful middle infielder. It's funny, Tony. I actually wish he would steal more bases and maybe less home runs because that's what I'd want for my middle infield. That's why he won't be on my teams because generally I'm not drafting for speed early. Not unless one of the guys falls to me as far as Trey Turner goes around six, something like that. Odds are I'm not going to have a Turner, D. Gordon, Billy Hamilton, so I'm going to need my speed from other positions. So, and power is easier to find in today's game. So I don't need him to hit 27 home runs. I'd be much happier to hit 18 home runs and stole 14 bases. That's what I want from my middle infielder. I want the bags more than the power.
Bags more than the power. Eduardo Nunez went 3-for-4, drove in 2 runs in the spring, win over the Astros on Saturday. All 3 hits were singles, including one in the 6th inning. He had a .313 batting average, 12 homers, 24 stolen bases, 114 games last year. The year before, he stole 40. I believe that Eduardo Nunez is going to be the second baseman for the Boston Red Sox. There was some problems last year with the team. I think a lot of it centers around some of the older players, some of the Dominican players. I think Alex Cora is brought in for a reason. And I think Eduardo Nunez, if he can play, is going to keep the job at second base.
Oh, I think he can play. Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt he can play. We already talked about it earlier. He can't really catch the ball consistently, but he can play. He's the kind of guy, Tony, where if I knew he was going to play 130 games, I'd love him for my middle infielder because he's going to steal those bags.
You know what's crazy? You know what's crazy? This guy, if you knew he was going to play every day, he should go in the first five rounds of drafts. And yet he was going double digits. And I bet some leagues he didn't get drafted.
I would agree with you. Because everyone thinks Pedroia is going to come back. You know, it's going to be sooner rather than later. And where does Nunez play? And that is the issue. Where does Nunez play?
I only got him on one team. And I'm of the opinion that, you know what? Finally, Dustin Pedroia has been tailing off. He's going to miss the start of the season. Nunez is the better player. They've got a lot invested in this team. They're going to need to keep him in the lineup. And he deserves to play. Over Pedroia.
I agree that he deserves, but I don't think he's going to play over Pedroia. I don't think they'll. I think if they were going to do that, they should have moved on from Pedroia, and they haven't done that. So I think I don't know if he's going to play. If Pedroia will play every day, I don't believe that. I think it could be some kind of split here. And I think they'll use the excuse to, you know, to keep him healthy, keep Pedroia more fresh, as I like to say. And maybe once again, Nunez becomes that super utility guy where he plays some third base for Devers against tough left-handers, plays some shortstop to get Bogaerts a rest. I don't see him playing all that much in the outfield, not against over those three, because I think those three are pretty much everyday players.
Plus, J.D. Martinez is already bitching and he wants to play.
J.D. can bitch all he wants. I mean, I don't mind doing J.D. in the outfield every now and then, but the problem is you're talking Betts, Bradley are all-world defenders, and Benintendi's not that far behind them. So you're taking a serious downgrade when you put anybody else, you know, more or less J.D. Martinez. I understand it's Fenway Park, left field, small ball sitting in the air. It's probably going out anyway. But still, I'm not doing that. J.D., you're a DH. That's what we signed you for. Get up in the plate, man. Leave
the guy that's the most interesting for the Red Sox this year is Hanley Ramirez. Now, I seen Hanley in person 2 years ago, and he was jacked up. Like, he looked like he could be in Mr. Universe, right? I was like, holy shit. Because there were times when he was first with the Red Sox that he was a little overweight. And I'm like, wow, this guy is insane. And so this year, though, he didn't play that well, and he was hurt last year. And he gets guaranteed $22 million, I think, if he gets a certain number at bats. I forget what it is. So the Red Sox have J.D. Martinez. They have Mitch Moreland. They have a lot of guys that are in that first base DH realm. But what Hanley did is he lost 30 pounds, and he's not as big as he once was. He's more flexible. And Dave Dombrowski was talking about him the other day, the GM for the Red Sox. And it sounded like Dombrowski doesn't want him to do well because I don't think he wants to pay him $22 million. But he's worried at how good Hanley Ramirez looks.
Well, you know, Hanley says he's going 30-30 this year. You know, and I always believe what a player tells me in spring training. So I admit, though, I'm buying in. I've got him in a couple of my leagues as my utility player. He's a guy who lasts forever in drafts.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have him on a single team.
For Song. Yeah. I've got him on about at least, I think I'm in four leagues right now, or three leagues. I'm drafting in a fourth. I think I've got him on all three, come to think of it. You know, I believe, and it's the fact that also he's going so late. I'm not looking to draft him, but he's there in round 20. How can I pass him Hanley Ramirez in round 20? What's the worst thing that can happen? Early. Okay, release him.
Yeah, and this gets to my Victor Martinez argument, and this is even at a bigger thing. Hanley Ramirez is going to hit third to sixth in one of the top three or four batting orders in all of baseball. How do you not draft him?
I agree. I can't pass it up. He's getting a bad knock because, okay, I think people were worried about Mitch Moreland. What, a platoon situation? Maybe it's some really tough right-handers, but I don't see it being a straight platoon where Hanley's on the wrong side of that. He's going to DH. He's not going to have to worry about playing first all that much.
He ain't going to DH now because of Martinez.
Oh, with JD Martinez, yeah. But he I think Kelly's going to play. I just think he's. I don't think he'll play full time. Maybe he plays 5 out of 7 games that week. You know, maybe they'll try and get Moreland in there somewhat. But I don't think he's going to be benched. I think that'd be a nightmare where he'll be bitching all. I don't care about that they don't want him to hit well because of the contract. If he's hitting well, he's going to be in the lineup. Corey's going to put him in. You said it. That lineup is going to score 900 runs. 1,000 wouldn't shock me. You know, I think it's going to be great for Hanley Ramirez. And also, there's no pressure on him because it's going to be on Betts. You know, J.D. Martinez, a bunch of these other Bogarts. Before you even get to Hanley, I don't think he's going to steal bases. You know, he says he wants to go 30-30. If he stole double digits, I'd be thrilled. Tickled pink. It's not what I expect when I draft him. But I think he's going to have a more than representative year.
There you go. One of the people said their first concert was Foreigner and their last concert was Foreigner. I hope that wasn't the same day.
I like Foreigner. You like Foreigner?
Oh, yeah. I'm a jukebox hero. With stars in my eyes.
I've never seen them, but I'm a Foreigner fan. They'd be in my top 20, top 30.
Austin Barnes went 1-for-2 with a 3-run homer. He unloaded the 3-run homer off Hector Santiago. It was his first home run of the spring. I know a lot of people were coming into the year thinking Austin Barnes was the guy in L.A., and he's been drafted ahead of Grindel in the drafts I've been in. I would draft Grindel ahead of Barnes. I think they both play. I think they're both draftable, but I would take Grindel first.
Yeah, we've known that Freeman tried to trade Grindel, but couldn't. I guess he couldn't find a taker or a price willing to trade him for. I would take Grindel over him as well. I think you can make an argument, and the way in two catcher leagues, my second catcher is generally. I don't mind taking a zero at the second catcher, and what I mean by that is I might draft the top prospect, and hopefully he comes up in July. I understand it hurts my counting categories, but at least they'll save me on my average where my second catcher won't make that plummet. But I think Barnes will be a fine second catcher. You know, a guy who's, I don't want to call it a platoon, but should play 60 games, and I'll take that from a second catcher, a guy who can hit somewhat. So I don't mind Barnes as a catcher, too.
Pete Considore. Are you here, Pete Considore?
Yeah, what's up?
For all the people out there, Scott Angle of RotoExperts.com, he's the managing editor, and he'll be back here next week.
Yep.
He has no athletic ability ever. Like, he's never played. You know how I know, Pete, and you can testify this because you play. Like, Scott never realized that if you put Ben Gay on your unit, it hurts like anything.
Oh, that's
like anyone.
I've done that by accident.
Anybody that's been in a locker room or played a sport knows that.
Yeah.
So that's a big Scott no-no. Scott pretend. Yeah, Scott was like, "Oh, what are you, weird? How do you know that?" Like, "No, Scott, you're weird. You've never been in a locker room or played a sport because if you put Ben Gay on your genitals, it hurts like anything."
Yeah. That's an unfortunate thing.
You think the youth of it?
I had a groin injury once, man, and I put Ben Gay or Icy Ooh. Hot or whatever the hell it was.
Oh.
And, wasn't careful. And like, what the hell, man? That was bad. That was very, very bad.
Do you think we could get better behavior from our children if we put Ben Gay on their genitals every time they you know, act it up?
But that stuff doesn't rub off, man. You can't just go take a shower. It doesn't quite work like that. It's like, crap.
Well, maybe they'll think about it next time they misbehave.
Sure. I'm sure they would. But then, listen, isn't the old joke is they forget about it the next day? Come on, you got kids. I got kids. Everything you do to them, you know, you think, oh, they'll get it now. You threaten them with everything. You know, I'm going to take away your electronics, your iPod, iPhone, your games.
No, they take away stuff. That's what I mean. Put some discipline. Put some Ben Gay on their genitals, Pete Considore. Like, wouldn't that make you, Pete, do your homework?
I'm going to be honest. I'd probably be traumatized for the rest of my life if that ever happened.
Really?
Yeah, if my parents forced that, I probably would. I'd probably be locked in my room somewhere crying.
All right. We'll go back to the drawing board then. Pete Considore, thank you for clearing that up for us. I just want to
make a little note here. Not going to put Ben Gay on genitals. Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Parenting note for me. Thanks, Tony. Parenting 101.
I think it's okay, but Pete says no. We don't want to scar anyone for life. That's why we give participation trophies.
That, you know, that is why we give participation trophies. Because God forbid little Johnny shouldn't be told that he wasn't very good at something.
God forbid we put Ben Gay on his genitals. Alex Wood surrendered 4 runs, 3 of them earned on 5 hits over 5 innings. Scott Engel, again, he is an Alex Wood guy. He likes anything to do with Wood. I got to tell you, 2.72 ERA, 1.05 whip last year, 152 innings. I think those numbers are repeatable. What the question is the 152 innings repeatable with this guy?
Sure. I think 152 innings is repeatable. That's about it. You know, and that may be on the high side.
You know, well, that's what I'm saying.
He's a guy, I mean, come on, Tony. Every time you watch him pitch, I'm surprised when he throws a ball to the plate that his elbow, his shoulder, and his body doesn't go with it. I mean, he's got that wicked, weird wind-up. He's an injury waiting to happen. And I think the Dodgers are also a very conservative organization. And what I mean by that is they love this 10-day DL. What? Elbow bothering you? Okay, 10-day DL. Everyone's elbow bothers them at their start. Okay, but I think they're very very cautious, and there's no way they're going to allow him to do it. Plus, they have pitchers in the minor leagues who could come up and do a couple starts. Yeah, I think they're also going to win that division, so they don't – not a lot of pressure on them. I understand Colorado and Arizona. I don't think – I don't know if either team is going to play as well as they did last season. So I think I love Alex Wood. I do have him on a league or two, but I know very well that my over-under on starts is probably 22-23.
Well, that's a good question. But I think Alex Wood, actually, in honesty, is a little overblown, his injury situation. If I go back to 2014, he made 35 starts. He pitched 171. 2015, 32 starts, 189. 2016, 14 starts, 60 innings. 2017, 25 starts, 152. So it's really that 1 year, 2016, that he didn't get a lot of starts. I think you're right, though. They babied him last year. They'll baby him again, which is great for fantasy owners. And if I can get 150 innings at under a 3 ERA, I'm in.
Oh, I'm in, absolutely. Like I said, that was about 20. He's a six-inning pitcher. It's pretty what you could do the math there. I love what he can give you. When he's on the mound, he's very good because I guess hitters just can't pick up the ball. He doesn't throw the ball 99 or anything like that, but hitters can't pick up the ball from him. Which, granted, with all the herky-jerky and everything he's got up there, I can see why. He's a guy I like an awful lot. But my problem is this. When you have someone like Wood, it can't take 2 or 3 other guys that are just like him. You know, you're not going to be able to get enough strikeouts there. That's my problem.
That is true. That is true. You got to get some K's, and we'll get you K's on the Roto Experts in the morning. K's and KY Jelly, we've got it all covered right here in the Roto Experts in the morning. No, that wasn't KY Jelly. Ben Gay. I get my
What my websites add-ons. Are you looking at, man?
My add-ons. I got my add-ons mixed up.
What's up with Jelly this morning?
Oh, I need some toast. Like, I feel like I missed Sunday morning breakfast this morning. I'm a grape jelly guy.
Me too.
Coming up next, the final hour of the Roto Experts in the morning.